B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Tainis Daf Yud Tes. We're going to start from the Mishnah, six lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Omud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Seder Tainiyos Elu Ha'omur. These Tainiyos, these fast days that we've been discussing on Daf Yud and the Mishnayos and from Daf Yud Beis, that if there would not be any rain, then first the individuals would start having a series of fasts, and then they would decree fasts on the public. All those are Berevia Rishoina, the first rain. Aval Tzmochim Sheshonu. However, if the only issue was that there was no rain. But if the crops, for example, were Shonu, there was something abnormal about their growth, then Masriim, they would immediately start crying out and fasting and doing what they had to do in order that they should beseech Hashem to help them. Masriim aleihem miyad, they would do that immediately. They wouldn't first wait for any length of time. V'chein sheposku geshomim bein geshem legeshem. The same applies if between the first rain and the second rain there was a gap, arboim yoim, for 40 days, then that's a sign that there's a drought, that there's going to be a shortage, and masriim aleihem, and one cries out for them immediately. Mipnei shehi makas b'tzeres, because it's an affliction of food shortage, it's a sign that things are going to be challenging. Yordu litzmochim, if the rain came down and they satisfied the needs of the crops, aval lo yordu li'ilon, but it was not a type of rain that was good for the trees, or li'ilon v'lo litzmochim, it was good for the trees and not for the crops, or lezeh lezeh, it was good for the crops and the trees, aval lo leboiris l'sichin ha'ma'oris, and it was not enough to, it did not suffice to fill up the holes, the ditches and the caves, the reservoirs of water they would need for drinking, then Masriin aleihem miyad, they would cry out for them immediately. V'chein, similarly, Ir shelo yordu aleihem geshomim, a city that, even though in the neighboring cities there was rain, if there was no rain in a particular city, then also it's something they would cry on immediately. D'chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, V'himtarti al ir echos val ir achas lo yamtir, chelko achas timotir v'chelko ash lo yisamtir oleo tivosh. And there the Pasuk, it's clear that if rain comes down in one place and not in another place, then it is a curse, and they would cry for that immediately. Oiso ho'ir, the mis'ane umasras. However, there's a difference between the city itself where the rain didn't fall and the other cities surrounding it where the rain did fall. That city, mis'ane umasras, that city itself cries out and fasts. V'chol tzriveiseo, however, the surrounding cities, mis'anois, they fast. V'lo masriyos, but they do not need to cry out. And the reason they have to fast, even though it's a more lenient type of challenge, but the reason they have to fast is since in the neighboring city there's no rain, they're going to have to come to their neighbor's city to buy the food, and there's going to be a shortage of food in both cities. Rabbi Kiva says Masriyos v'loy Mis'anos, that those neighboring cities who they and themselves did have rain, but they were going to be, their food stocks were going to be used by the city, the neighboring city that didn't have rain, they have to be masriyos, they just cry out v'loy mis'anos, and they don't fast. And that means Rabbi Kiva agrees with the Tanakama that it's less of an issue than the city itself that the rain didn't come down in. The question is just, what would that city do? Would they just fast, or would they just cry out? But they wouldn't do both, as the city without the rain would have to do. Continues the Mishnah, v'chein ir sheyesh bo dever, a city that has pestilence in it, or that the buildings were falling down, the winds there were obviously stronger than the buildings could handle. That city, those cities themselves would fast and cry out, and the neighboring cities, they would just have to fast and not have to do the crying out. Rabbi Kiva Omer Masriyos v'lo Mis'anos. As we said before, Rabbi Kiva holds that the city which has an indirect effect from the challenge of the neighboring city, they do the crying out and they do not do the fasting. Says the Mishnah, Eizehu Dever. What is the definition of dever, of pestilence? What would define that there's some type of a disease going on here, and then it's called a mako, and possibly a mako mahaleches, a moving mako, It's an affliction which moves from place to place and threatens all the places around it. Says the Mishnah, Ir Hamitziach HaMeishmi Yisragli, if it's a city that has in it of 500, that means the ratio that per 500 healthy men, V'yotzu Mimeno Gimel Meisim, and three of those healthy men of the 500 die B'Gimel Yomim within 3 days, which means a dead person in one of each of the three consecutive days, Zeach HaZeach, three consecutive days, Hareze Dever. Only then it's considered a Dever. Pochis Mikan, if the ratio is less than one per day for three consecutive days per 500 healthy people in the city, then Ein Zeh Dever, it's not considered Dever. Continues the Mishnah, Al Eilu Masriin B'Kol Mokim, on the following calamities then, and the following emergencies that one is masriin, one cries out, b'chol mokim, even in a place where the calamity itself has not befallen them, but since it's a calamity that moves from place to place, therefore anybody who hears about it should be crying out that it should not reach them. Al hashidofin, if there's winds that are coming and destroying the crops, valayarkoin, or if there's a type of an illness, called Yarkoin, Valo Arbe, or if the locusts are coming, Vala Chosil, another type of Arbe, another type of locust, Vala Chai or Ra, or if dangerous beasts are coming and killing people, Vala Cherev, if the armies are coming in and just killing and destroying everything that comes in their way, then Masriin Aleim, then anywhere and everywhere one cries out, Mipnei She'imako Maleches, it's a calamity that travels from place to place, and just because it hasn't yet come to a particular place doesn't mean they shouldn't beg Hashem that it shouldn't come. Says the Mishnah, Maisa sheyordu zkeinim miYerushalayim. There was an incident that the elders went down from Yerushalayim la'oreim to their cities within Eretz Yisrael. V'gozru tainis, and they decreed a fast, al shenire kemeloi pi tanur. We'll see in the Gemara what that means on Daf Chof Beis. Shidofin, because they became aware of a shidofin in Ashkelon. And Ashkelon is not even in Eretz Yisrael, it's in Plishtim. And since there was this issue of shidofin in Ashkelon, then the Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael decreed that they should fast in order that the shidofin should not come to them in Eretz Yisrael. V'oid gozru tainis, and they also decreed a fast, al she'ochlu ze'evim, that the wolves, because the wolves devoured Shnei Tinoikos, two children, Be'evar Yarden, on the other side of the Jordan, and the Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael decreed a fast day. Rabbi Yossi says, Lo'al She'ochlu, the wolves didn't actually devour those two children, Elo'al She'niru, but these wolves were seen, and they were threatening, and they were coming to the city, and therefore they decreed a fast day for that. Continues the Mishnah, Al Eilu Masriin B'Shabbos, on the following, they would cry out and even say Aneinu, even on Shabbos, because of the severity of the danger that was threatening them. Al Ir Sheikifu Anochrim, a city that had been surrounded and besieged by Goyim, or in Nohor, or if there's a river that is threatening to cause a flood and damage, V'alasfino HaMatarefes Bayam, or if there's a ship, a boat that is being tossed around at sea, then they would say Aneinu even on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi said, Le'ezra, they could call out for assistance, V'loy Litz'oka, but they wouldn't just be crying out as a tefillah, and we've already seen this early on Daf Yud Dalet. Shimon HaTimni Oimir, Shimon from the place of Timna would say, Af Al HaDever, they would say Aneinu on Shabbos, even for Dever, V'loy Hoidu Lo'i Chachomim, the Chachomim did not agree with them. Continues the Mishnah, Al Kol Tzora Shaloi Tovoi, when any calamity which we hope will never befall, but if it does befall Al HaTzibur on the community, on the public, Masriin Aleihem, then one cries out over them, Chutz Miroiv Geshomim, besides for the challenge of having too much rain, where too much rain in and of its own is simply a burden and a bother for the people, but doesn't actually destroy the crops. And for that type of challenge, they would not say, they would not be Masriin. Says the Mishnah, Maiser, there's an incident, and this incident actually happened on the 20th of Adar, She'omru lo'i l'choyni ha-ma'agol, that Choyni ha-ma'agol was told, Hispalil she'irdu g'shomim, Daven, that rain should come down. There had been no rain that year. Omar Lohem, he said to them, Tzu v'ichnisu tanoiri psochim. He was so confident that the rain would come down and the earthenware ovens that were already prepared for the Korban Pesachs would get destroyed, would get dissolved, and he was so sure that the rain would come down, he told them, take in those ovens, b'shul shelo yemoiku, that they should not dissolve in the rain that's about to come down. Hispalil, choni ha'ma'agol davened, v'lo yardu g'shomim. And the rain didn't come down. Ma'os, so what did he do? Og ugo, he drew a circle, v'omad b'soicha, and stood inside it. V'omar lefonov, and he said before Hashem, Ribbono shel olam, bonecho somu pnei melai, your sons have turned their faces and relying on me. She'ani keben bayis lefonecho, because I am compared to a member of your household, Hashem. Nishba ani b'shimcha gadol, I swear in your great name, she'eini zoruz mikan, I'm not going to move from within this circle, ad she'terachim al banecho, until you have mercy on your children. Heschilu geshomim mit natfim. The rain started trickling. Omar Suchinia Ma'agol said, Loikach sh'alti. That's not what I asked for. Elo gishmi boiriz shichinu ma'oriz. I asked for enough rain that would actually fill all the reservoirs, the holes, the ditches, and the caves. Heschilu leirid bezav. The rain started coming down with a fury. Omar, again, Choynia Ma'agol said, Loikach sh'alti, that's not what I asked for. Elo gishmei rotzoin, brocha unadova. I asked for rain, which is desirable, which is a blessing, which is benevolence. Yordu kitikonum, and the rain started falling in a normal way, in a fashion that was good for everybody. Ad sheyotzu Yisrael miYerushalayim, until there was so much rain that the Klal Yisrael had to leave from Yerushalayim, laharabayis, and start ascending the harabayis because of the rain that was flooding. Mipnei hageshomim. Bo'u v'omru lo, they came to Choni HaMa'agol, and they said to him, Kashem she'espalalto aleim she'yerdu, in the same way as you davened that the rain should come down, kach espalil she'yelchu lohen, so too you should daven that the rain should now stop. Omar lehem. So Choni HaMa'agol said to the people, Tzu uru'u, go out and see im nimchis Even Hatoyin. There was this stone in Yerushalayim where people who had lost something or found something would go there. And this is something discussed in Bav Metzia Daf Chof Ches. And he said, go and see whether that stone had become covered or that stone had become effaced. He wanted to see if that stone had been affected by the volume of rain. And says the Mishnah, Sholach le Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach sent a message to Choni HaMa'agol and said, El Moli Choni Ato, if not that you are the great and holy Choni HaMa'agol that has such an amazing relationship with Hashem, Guzran Yolecho, I would have pronounced against you Nidui, a ban, an excommunication, because that's not the way that one is supposed to be speaking to Hashem. Avol ma ese lecho, but what can I do for you? She'ato mischate lifnei amokim, that you're like able to act this way before Hashem, and even though you're speaking that way, Hashem does what you're asking him. Like a child, that even when he speaks inappropriately to their father, nonetheless the father does what the son asks. And about that type of relationship, the Pasuk says, Yismach ovicha ve'imecha, that your father and mother will rejoice, v'sogil yiladutecha, and she who bore you will be glad. Continues the Mishnah, hoyu misanin, if they would fast because there was not enough rain, and then v'yordu lehem geshamim, and then the rain would come down, should they finish the fast, should they not finish the fast. So koydem ha'netzachama, if the rain came down before the netzachama, then lo yashlimu, they do not need to continue fasting that day. La'achar ha'netzachama, if, however, they started the fast after nets and then the rain came down, then yashlimu, they should fast till the end of the day. Rabbi Elazar Omer, koydem chatzois lo yashlimu. The determining factor is not netzachama, it's chatzois, it's midday. If the rain came down before midday, lo yashlimu, there's no need to finish the fast. La'achar chatzois, if the rain only came down after chatzois, yashlimu, they should continue and finish the fast. Ma'aseh shegozru tainis, there was an incident that they had decreed a fast day b'lud in Lud, v'yordu lehem geshomim koydim chatzois, and the rain came down before chatzois. Omar lehem Reb Tarfin said to them, since the rain came down before chatzois, there's no need to finish the fast, tzu, go out, v'ichlu and eat, ushsu and drink, v'asu yomtev, and make it a yomtev, a festive day, v'yotzu v'ochlu v'shosu v'osu yomtev. They did that. Uvau beinu arbaim, and they came to the shuls in the afternoon, v'koru halil agodol, and they read the Big Halil, which is a perek in Tehillim, perek Kuf Lamed Vav, which is where the 26 Kila Olam Chasdois are mentioned. Says the Gemara, the opening words of the Mishnah we just learnt, Seder Tainyo Yisraelu Ha'omur B'Raviyah Rishayna, that the order of those fasts mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Yud and Daf Yud Beis and on are applying, and they were decreed when the first rains were delayed. And we've already seen earlier on in the Masechta that there were three stages, three periods of rain. There was the first period of rain that would come down after Sukkos, Cheshvan. There was another rain that came later on in the year, and then another rain right at the end of the year before Pesach time. And we also saw early on in the Gemara that the first rain, which is called Yoyre, the last rain is called Malkoish, the first rain is called Yoyre. The Yoyre rain itself has three stages. At this point in the Gemara assumes that Revi Arishoino means that the first of the Yoyre rains, that when if they get delayed, then they would start fasting. Uramin, and the Gemara is challenging this from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Revi'a Rishoina Ushnia, the first part of the Yoyre rain, and the date when the first Yoyre rain should fall, and the date when the second Yoyre rain should fall, Lishoil, then they would only, in the Shemoneh Esrei, they would say, but they would not fast if it got delayed. Shlishis, however, the only when the third rain gets delayed, then lis anois, then they would fast. And in our mission, it seems to be that they would start fasting Buravia Rishoina, when the very first rains were delayed. So answers the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda, Hachik Omer. What the Mishnah means is that Seida Tainye Ta Omer Emosai, at what point does one start fasting? Bisman sheyotza Revi'a Rishoina Ushnia Ushlishis. That Revi'a Rishoina indeed means the Yoyre. It means all three rains, which all three stages of the first rain, V'lo yardu geshomim, and when all three of those dates for the first rain, the three stages of the first rain, and rain had delayed all three, then they would fast. And that's what the Mishnah means. But if some point between those three times, all considered Yoyra, the rain did fall, and people planted the seeds, and they did not grow, inami or tzomchu v'chozru v'nishtanu, they started growing, but they were growing in a changed and an abnormal way, then they would not wait until the end of the times where the rain would fall, etc. Rather, Masrin Alein Miyad, they would immediately cry out in order that Hashem should have mercy on them and that the crops should grow, the seeds that they'd planted should grow, and those crops that were growing abnormally should grow normally. And that's what it says indeed in the Mishnah, Aval Tzmochim Sheshanu, but those crops that are growing abnormally, then Masrin Alein Miyad, they would cry out for them immediately. And Omer of Nachman, Rav Nachman is clarifying that and commented that Dafka Nishtanu, only when the plants would change, then they would cry out and fast straight away. Aval Yavshu, but if the plants just started drying out a little, Loi, they would not cry out and fast. And Rashi explains that once plants dry out, then it doesn't, even if it would rain later, it would not actually save them, and it would be useless to daven for that, and one's not allowed to daven a tefillah in vain. One's not allowed to ask for something which naturally cannot happen. Says the Gemara, what are you, Rav Nachman, trying to impress on us? That only if the crops changed a little bit and a little bit abnormal, then you can daven that Hashem, so to speak, should normalize them and they should grow healthy. But if they dried out, then there's no point davening. What element of chiddush is there? The Mishnah says, nishtanu tnan. The Mishnah actually says that the tzmochim sheshanu, that only if the crops changed, then they would masrin alein miyad. And the Mishnah is making it clear that only for the change, but not for any other reason. Answers the Gemara, loy. It's not so clear that davening for the crops after they're dried up is a useless tefillah. And Tzricha, there is still an element of Chiddush in what Rav Nachman said. And we're talking about a case, Da'akun, where some of the stalks grew after the crops have dried up. Maudatema, you may have thought, Akanto, milsahi, that if the stalks grow a little bit after it's dried up, that means that they are still recoverable and there is what to daven for. Komash malon, that's what Rav Nachman was telling us, that even though the stalks grew a little bit after it had dried out, nonetheless, that's not a sign that it's still able to be revived. And when they've dried out, there's no way, short of a miracle, that they would revive themselves and be able to grow normally, and therefore one should not daven that they should, so to speak, heal and grow normally. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us back to the Mishnah, V'chein sheposku geshomim bein geshem legeshem. If the rains stopped between one rain, between the first rain and the second rain, for a significant amount of time, for 40 days gap between the first and second rain, then that is reason to cry out to Hashem to have mercy on them. And the Mishnah says, Mipnei shehi makas betzeres, because it is an affliction of food shortage. Asks the Gemara, my makas betzeres, what does that mean? Omer of Yudah Marav, mako hamivio l'dei betzeres. It means it's a type of affliction, which is this gap between the first rain and the second rain, which will ultimately lead to a food shortage. And now the Gemara is going to distinguish between this batzeres, which is a less severe type of a food shortage, and kafno, which the Gemara is going to say, which is a famine, which is even more severe. And the halachic ramification of this difference is that when it's just batzeres, then one does not cry out immediately. However, if it's a famine, then one does cry out immediately. And then Tosfos explains that when the Mishnah that we just mentioned speaks about makas betzeres, then it's actually considered as a famine, which is much worse than a regular betzeres, which is a food shortage. And the other Rishonim discuss this as well. Says the Gemara, Omer of Nachman, naharo anaharo, betzurto, medinto amedinto, kafno. If there's a shortage of crops in one city, but in the next city there's ample crops, and one can actually bring the crops from one city to the next, but with a ship on the river, that's naro anaro, then that's considered a food shortage, but it's not considered a famine, since one was able to transport the crops from one city to the next. However, medinta medinta, if we're talking about that a whole region didn't have enough crops, and they would have to then transport the crops from one region to the next using donkeys, using animals, that is already a much more serious situation, and is considered kafno, it's considered a famine. V'omer of Chanina. Rav Chanina gives another distinction. Sa'o besela. If the price of wheat was so expensive that one could get a sa' of wheat for the price of a sela, that's very expensive, ushchicha. But the wheat, even though it's very expensive, but it was readily available, that's called batzerta. That's considered just a food shortage. However, arbo, if you could get 4 saw for a seller, which is a quarter of the price, it's much cheaper. However, v'loy shchicha, but the wheat is not plentiful, it's hard to come by. Kafno, that is considered a famine with all the stringent ramifications of that. Omer Rabbi Yechanan also said that if food is available but expensive, it's not considered a famine. However, if it's not available, that's considered a famine. Lo Yishon, Rabbi Yechanan explained that this that Rabbi Chanina said, that there are leniencies when it's a mere food shortage, but it's not a famine, is only Elo Bizman Shamoyis Bazoil. That's only in a case where money is readily available. People had money to spend. Uperis Bayoker. But the produce, the fruits, is very expensive. That's called just a food shortage. It's not called a famine, because one could buy, should one want to. The money was available. Aval mois b'yoker, but people who didn't have money, people who were very poor, or peiros b'zoil, even if the produce is very cheap, nonetheless, masrin oleo miyad, they would cry out immediately for mercy to Hashem on this, and it has the status of a famine. Domer Rabbi Yechanan, for Rabbi Yechanan said, Nehiro, Nehirno, I remember, Kathava Kaimo Dalet Soin Basela, when 4 saw were sold for a single seller, which is normal price, it's not expensive, Vahava Nefisha, Neficha, nonetheless, there were people that were very bloated because Chofon from the hunger, Bitverian, Tveria, Mideles Isser, since there was no money available to buy the food. So you see that even if the food is not expensive, but they could not buy it because they didn't have the money, that is considered a famine, and people became bloated from hunger, and that would be called a kafno with its stringent halachas. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us back to the next statement of our Mishnah, Yarudu litzmochim, if the rain fell and it was good, it was productive and beneficial for the tzmochim, for the crops, avaloi le'ilon, but not for the trees, or for the trees and not for the crops, then they would cry out immediately, and even if it was good for the crops and the trees, but not to fill up the reservoirs, then they would also cry out immediately. Says the Gemara, Bishloim litzmochin v'loy le'ilon, we can understand how could rain fall and be beneficial for the crops and not for the trees. Mishkachas lo da'osa nicha v'loy asya razya. That situation would be if the rain falls lightly and heavy rains didn't fall, then light rains benefit the crops. Heavy rains are necessary for the trees, and since there was only light rain, then it was beneficial for the crops and not for the trees. Le'ilon v'loy litzmochim. We can also understand how rain can be beneficial for the trees and not for the crops. De'asya razya is if there was heavy rains, v'loy asya nicha, and the light rains didn't fall. We can also understand lezeh or lezeh, how it can be beneficial for the crops and the trees, avaloy leboyreis leshichinum oris, but not for the reservoirs of water. We can understand that as well. Mishkachas lo de'asya razya, if there was also heavy rains, v'nicha, and there was also light rain. Mi'utuva lo asya, however, in volume, there wasn't a large amount of rain that came down, and therefore the reservoirs didn't fill up. So the points in the Mishnah, we can understand. However, we have an issue with an added statement in a Braisa. Elhod Tanya, this that we learnt in a Braisa, that yordu leboiris, leshichinu lemaoris, if there was enough rain to satisfy the reservoirs, avaloi lezeh, avaloi lezeh, but did not satisfy not the crops and not the trees, then one would also cry out immediately. The question is, heicha mishkachas lo? When would that be? If there was heavy rains and enough of the rain, it would fill up the reservoirs and it would benefit the trees. If there was enough rain and it was light rain, it would fill up the reservoirs and benefit the crops. But how did the reservoirs get filled when it didn't benefit not the trees and not the crops? How is that possible? Answers the Gemara, De'ashya bishvichusa. If they came down in very, very heavy downpour, it was so heavy that it was not beneficial, not for the crops and not for the trees, and the only thing that benefited was that the reservoirs got filled up. And the Braisa says that in that case, they would also cry out immediately. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Masrin al ho'ilonois bifrois ha-pesach. If the waters have not yet received enough rain by the time Pesach came round, then they would immediately cry out for the rain. Ala boiris ushichinu ma'oris, and if there was not enough water in the reservoirs, bifrois hachag, already from Sukkot's time, right at the beginning of the winter, nonetheless, if there was no water, if there was not enough water in the reservoirs, they would also cry out immediately. And even if there's still enough drinking water in these reservoirs for people to drink, however, since they would need these reservoirs to give the water to the animals and to irrigate the fields, and that was lacking, they would cry out immediately. Val kulon, some don't have this version of these extra two words, but im ein le mayim lishtois, and if there was no water for the people to drink, then of course, masrin aleh miyad, they would cry out immediately, asking Hashem for mercy, and this would be even during the summer months where drinking water is an absolute necessity. If there was a lack of drinking water, they would cry out immediately. And asks the Gemara, Ve'ezeu miyad shelohen, when it says that for these calamities, they would immediately cry out to Hashem, how quick is immediate? What does immediate mean? Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Sheini v'chamishi v'sheini, on a Monday, a Thursday, and the following Monday, that's when they would daven and cry out to Hashem. Ve'al kulon ein mastrin alein elo be'iparkyo shelohem. And on all these that we just mentioned, they would only cry out in the affected country, only in the place where they had this shortage. And regarding va'askara, a very contagious disease called askara, bisman sheyesh bo misa, when it's severe enough that it causes people to die, then masriyan aleh, then they would cry out for mercy. Bisman she'ein bo misa, however, when the askara exists but was not killing people, ein masriyan aleh, they would not cry out on its account. Umasriyan ala goivai b'kol shehu, and when the goivai locusts, even if they come, b'kol shehu, even if just a small amount of these locusts come, then nonetheless we cry out immediately, because it's taken for granted that behind this small amount of locusts are following a very large swarm of locusts, and they will devour everything that they find, and therefore they would cry out immediately for mercy. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer Af Al Chogov. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that the Chogov locusts, even though a few of them are seen and not that many, and the Chogov locusts cause considerably less damage than the Goivai locusts, nonetheless, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that even for the Chogov, they would cry out immediately, even if just some of them were seen. And we're going to discuss these locusts a little bit more on Daf Chof Beis. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon in another brisa we learned, Masriyan al ha'ilonos, we cry out when there's not enough rain for the trees, but that's only b'shar shnei shavua. That's only the first 6 years of every Shemitah cycle. However, during Shemitah, where the fruits are considered ownerless, then they would not cry out even though there was a shortage of rain for the trees. But if there's not enough water in the reservoirs, then afilu b'shvius, they would cry out even during Shemitah, because even during Shemitah people need water to drink. Even though the fruits are considered ownerless, but mipnei sheyesh ben parnosel aniyim, even though the regular people, they rely during Shemitah on crops that they had stored up from the previous years and what they have left over in storage. However, the poor people, they rely very much on the wild produce, the svichin that grow during Shemitah, and therefore, because they need the sustenance for the poor is dependent on what's going to grow in the fields during Shemitah, therefore, if there's not enough rain, they would cry out even for the trees during Shemitah. Tanya Idoch, in another braisa we learned, Masriyan al ha'ilonos, we cry out if there's not enough rain for the trees, b'shar shnei shavua, the first 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, ala boiris, ala shichin, ala ma'oris, afilu b'shvius, but if the reservoirs don't have enough water to drink, then we cry out afilu b'shvius, even during Shemitah. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, af al ha'ilonis, we cry out for the trees, even during Shemitah, which is similar to what we saw in the previous braisa, masriyan ala svichin, b'shvius, and even more so, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, we cry out if there's not enough water for the svichin, which is the aftergrowth of the plants during the Shemitah year, b'shvius during the Shemitah year, b'pnei sheyesh ben parnosel aniyim, because the poor people, they live off these svichin during Shemitah, and if there's not enough rain that these svichin should grow, then the poor people will suffer, and therefore we cry out for them even during Shemitah. Continues the Gemara in another braisa, Tanya Omer Reb Elazar ben Proto, Miyoyim shechorav Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nasu Geshomim Tzmukim La'olam, then rain has become very tightened, there's a shortage of rain in the world. Yes, Shono Shegishmeo Merubim, there are some years where the rain is very abundant, yes, Shono Shegishomeo Mu'otin, and there's other years where the rain is very sparse. Yes, Shono Shegishomeo Yeridim Bizmanom, some years the rain falls at the proper time. Yes, Shono She'en Geshmeo Yeridim Bizmanom, there are years where the rain comes down in a time where it's not really so beneficial. Shono Shegishomeo Yeridim Bizmanom, those years that the rain falls in the proper time, Lemo Doime, what can those years be compared to? Le'evet Shenosan Le'rabbi Parnasosoi Be'echod B'Shabbos, a servant whose master gives him his payment, his wages, on Sunday, and therefore he has plenty time to buy the flour, to make the dough, even for the following Shabbos. Nimtzeis iso nefes ketikno, and as a result of that, his dough is baked properly, and v'necheles ketikono, and can be eaten properly the whole week. Shono she'en geshomeo yeridim bizmanon, but those years where the rain does not come in the right time, then lemo doime, what is those years compared to? Those years are compared to le'evet shenosan le'rabbi parnasosei be'erev Shabbos, a servant whose master is giving him his wages just on Friday, and then there's not enough time to bake the dough properly for Shabbos, nimtza isa nefes shelo ketikna, the dough will not be baked properly, v'necheles shelo ketikna, and he will be eating the bread, it will not be able to be eaten properly because it's not being baked properly. Continues the Braisa, shono shegeshameo merubin, those years where there's a lot of rain, lemo doimer, it's compared to what? It's compared to le'evet shenosan le'rabbi parnasosi bevasachas, compared to a servant who got his wages at once, he got a whole year's pay all at once, and therefore he can grind the wheat of an entire year at a time. Nimtza rechayim toichnois min hakoir masha toichnois min hakav, because as a result, and we know that when a person grinds, there's a certain loss that's sustained in the grinding, and there's the same loss regardless and of how much you're grinding. So that's nimtza rechayim toichnois min hakoir masha toichnois min hakav, the amount of loss from the millstones, from the grinding of a koir, is the same as that of a kav. And therefore, if he can grind a whole year's wheat at once, he has very minimal losses. V'nimtzeis isa eicheles min hakoir k'moy eicheles min hakav. The same is true regarding kneading a dough, that whenever one kneads, there's a certain loss that's sustained during the kneading, but that loss is irrespective of how much dough he's kneading. So this person that can knead a very large dough at once, he's minimizing his losses, because every time he's got to knead a small dough, he's going to make as much loss as the one loss of a big dough, and therefore he's losing. Shono sheg shomeu mu'otim l'mor doimer, a year where the rain is very sparse, what's that compared to? Le'evet shenosan le'rabbi parnasosei ma'at ma'at, is compared to a servant whose master is giving him his pay just little by little. Nimtzu rechayim masha toichnos min hakoir toichnos min hakav, and as a result of that, he's making what he would have lost as a single loss from the entire koir, he's now losing that every single time he's grinding a kav. And nimtzis iso kamo shenecheles min hakoir oicheles min hakav, and when he's kneading the dough, as much as he would lose from kneading a whole koir, he's now losing every time he's got to knead just a kav. Davar acher, another way of understanding this, bizman shegeshomer merubin lemo doimer, when there's a lot of rain, what is it compared to? Le'odom shemegabe lesatit, it's compared to a person who is kneading clay, that im yesh leimayim rabim, only if he has a lot of water, then mayim einom kolim, then the water doesn't get completely used up, vatit megubal yofa, and the clay is kneaded properly. Im yesh lemayim mu'otin, however, if he only has a little bit of water, then mayim kolim, the water gets used up before he finishes kneading, vatit einom mizgabal yafa, and the clay does not get kneaded properly. And this, that the Braisa said, that if there's more rain or less rain is compared to the losses of the grinding or the losses of the kneading. So there Rashi explains that with the rain also, there's a certain amount of rain that doesn't get absorbed into the ground and isn't beneficial, and that's to fill up the cracks in the ground. And there's a certain amount of rain that's before the rain will start being absorbed and benefiting the ground. And that happens irrespective of how much rain comes down. If a little bit of rain comes down, then the same amount is going to be lost, so to speak, before the rest will benefit the ground, as if a lot of rain comes down. And therefore, when there's a lot of rain, there's much less water, so to speak, that's being lost than if it's just coming down in lots of shots of small rain, where each time a little bit of rain comes down, there's going to be the same losses as a big rain, and much more of the rain, much more of the water is going to get lost. And Emil Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.